Good afternoon, listeners and viewers. This is Ron Stefanski, host of Disrupt Ed. Welcome to another episode. This is the show where you hear from the do-gooders and the determined, the passionate and purpose-driven, who are out there in this ginormously disrupted world of work and learning, this 5G wired, workforce augmented, AI enhanced, globally interconnected, technology interdependent, pandemic interrupted, AI enhanced world of work and learning. That's a mouthful, but that's what we're facing. And many of our episodes have focused on the tremendous disruption going on in the world of learning. When you raise tuition in excess of the average cost of inflation year on year for three decades, you find yourselves in a position where a college education is now being evaluated on a whole nother dimension, and that's the affordability index. And as that's happening, we're also seeing the emergence of technology bringing us a whole host of other ways that people are finding ways to get educated and upskilled for the jobs of tomorrow, today. With us today is a fantastic young, dynamic personality in this world of upskilling. We have with us today Athena Khan from Dreambound. Athena, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on here, Ron.
So just to give you a little intro, and not to puffer up too much, but we're talking to a Forbes 30 Under 30 recipient. We're talking to a certified brainiac, a Harvard graduate with a computer science degree who's gone on to look at and understand better how to navigate the world of upskilling. And she started right at home looking at the experience of her parents and how they had looked at new educational opportunities to take advantage of new skills and new remunerative opportunities. So, Athena, maybe it might be useful for our viewers and listeners to hear about your origin story and where it all began and what's got you thinking about upskilling and thinking about ultimately starting Dreambound.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So when I graduated college, I saw this giant tech boom that was happening, and I was seeing so many people raise millions of dollars, start these huge billion-dollar tech companies. But I was really surprised and almost frustrated. Why aren't any of them working on the very, very important goal and effort of trying to help people who don't have very much money try and make more money? And so I decided, well, I got to go do that myself. I thought back to a time when I was a lot younger, when I was with my parents and they were trying to get some work done on our house. They needed to hire an electrician and they asked for a bunch of quotes from a bunch of local electricians, everything from, you know, the cash only Chinese guy to like very expensive, you know, local brand. And they found that even the lowest price quote was going to be $6,000, which was crazy for them. And so my dad decided instead, okay, instead of paying for this, it's going to be a better use of money and time for me to become an electrician myself. So he just studied nights and weekends for a few weeks. He was able to pass the exam. I think he got like the highest in recorded history in my county. And then he just like did the work on our house. And I thought that was awesome. I was like, we got to get other people to go do that too.
Well, it seems to me that that's what people of your millennial generation are finding, is that they're getting out into the world of work. And a four-year degree may not maybe a great solution or maybe a great part of their learning journey, but it doesn't necessarily prepare them first and foremost for making more money and finding a life-sustaining, family-supporting work. So as you started navigating that, it seems to me that's where – isn't that right? Isn't that where Dreambound started to invent itself?
Of course, yeah. We started out in the healthcare field right as COVID was happening, and we just had – I mean, thousands of people who were on Dreambound who were like, I want to go serve during the pandemic. First of all, it's very mission driven for them. A lot of them have taken care of like their grandmothers or their grandfathers as they were aging and trying to make sure that they were all right as they aged in place. And for them, they thought, I want to go help people and at the same time have a whole new career that I can grow into. I can start out as a nursing assistant or a medical assistant or phlebotomist, whatever, but eventually level up to be a registered nurse. And from there, maybe even start their own school or start their own nursing clinic or something like that. And a lot of people found that there was job security, especially in a time of the pandemic when a lot of people were losing their jobs. They thought that there was upward mobility, and they found that their previous education had failed them. And here's this other industry where you could just get a certification in just a few months and you'd be hired immediately and get paid insane amounts of money during the pandemic. And that trend has definitely carried over to other industries as well, like technology, industrial trades, business, same thing.
Well, it seems to me that what we're also seeing is this is part of a broader trend that we're seeing that higher ed enrollments, both at the 2-year and the 4-year level, are continuing their decline. And at the same time, shorter form courses, certificate programs, certifications are tending to increase in enrollments. And so more people are looking in that direction. And it seems to me that that's a big part of what you're tapping into. Maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the courses and some of what Dreambound started looking at in terms of making this available. So in the case of a lot of people, we've seen upskilling as a movement among America's corporations. So they've wrestled with this idea of education as a benefit. So they're providing more and more of these certification programs. They're providing online high school. They're providing all kinds of different educational opportunities for their employees. But if you're in between jobs or you're not employed and you're looking to make more money, obviously affordability and what you're going to pay to get that next level of education is going to figure very prominently into the decision, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you see some of the most popular programs on Dreambound, which helps people find these career and technical training programs. They are the ones that offer financial aid or a flexible payment plan, are the ones that cost $2,000 or less. And that's why you see a lot of colleges, as they start to offer these certificate training programs with these online program managers, that they end up getting priced at just a couple thousand dollars or below, which allows someone to break up those payments over the cost of class or take out a loan and be able to pay them back as they get a new job that pays a little bit higher. They can then pay back that education. And that's why you also see a lot of lending providers popping up as well that are trying to really invest in people. And you know, they realize that if someone gets educated, they're going to get paid a little bit higher. So actually, they're a little bit more credit trustworthy than they might appear to be when they initially apply.
So when people come to you and come to Dreambound, how do they begin to evaluate? There are massive numbers of these courses cropping up now. So how can you decide what's the arbiter of quality in this, you know, in this circumstance?
You know, it's super interesting. We've run a ton of surveys and I've done a lot, hundreds of user interviews with our users. And I mean, surprisingly, like quality actually is not the most important thing to them. A lot of people view that since they're getting a certification, that's all that matters. If they can get a certification, then, you know, they're just looking for something that meets their personal needs. Like if you are a working adult that has to drop off your kid to school at whatever, 9 a.m, and then you have to go pick them up at 3, like you have to find a class that allows you to go do that. And so you see online asynchronous classes being the most popular on Dreambound. We also see ones that are very affordable. I mean, that's definitely actually the number one criteria is affordability, and fitting in the schedule is a very close second. And then quality, I mean, definitely is a tiebreaker between the few of those. Like the brand names that we have on Dreambound are the ones that are going to get more interest, assuming that they meet some of those other things. But yeah, it's surprising. I really thought quality was going to be a lot more important than it has been so far.
So what you're saying is that convenience, the ability to take this course on your own terms, and the ability to match that to a specific job that you're looking to get or you see yourself moving into, those are the things that are really driving it. So when people come to Dreambound, how are you able to help them? How are you able to help them sort through this maze of various different options, as I lose my mic here?
Yeah, I mean, before I started Dreambound, I started exploring, looking at what the status quo looked like. And right now, if you try and look for, say, a cybersecurity course near me or a medical assistant class near me, you end up going to the first few results on Google and you end up on these websites that almost feel a little scammy. Like you enter in your contact information and then you say, oh, you know, I'm interested in starting within the next few months. And then you're given only a few options, like maybe 1 to 3, often in a completely different subject than what you actually requested for. You maybe click you're interested. And then all of a sudden you're getting 10 calls from people who you didn't realize that you signed up for. And so for Dreambound, we're trying to make the user experience better for students, where we are opening up our whole inventory. You don't even have to sign in or sign up in order to start browsing it. We have over 6,000 schools on our platform, and a student can pick a class that meets their needs. They can sort and filter and use the Dreambound ranking algorithm and all of that to find a class that could be as specific as like a weekend class with a payment plan that starts in the next week. Or, you know, if they're a little bit more open-ended and flexible, they can compare different programs, like maybe I'm considering, you know, welding and also HVAC at the same time. They can compare programs across those. And that really allows students to actually drill down into the program that meets their needs the most. And on the school side, too, you know, they're able to see students who are a little bit more higher intent because they've done the research and they know that this is the exact program that I want.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like one of the things you're filtering out are these people who are quote unquote admissions counselors, but they're really there to sell their program. And they're not necessarily admissions counselors first and foremost. They're almost like informal inside salespeople that are there to promote a certain course. So you're filtering them out. And so how do people then look at your inventory and begin to evaluate the various options? How are they able to sort through them and say, okay, this one meets my criterion for this, but this one is still a bit of a maze unless you're helping them to discern that. So how does that work?
Yeah, we try and provide as much information as possible to the students up front. So letting them know specifics like this one is $252 to start and like $1,500 total, and letting them know they can break down the cost of class into 4 payments. Each school, if they claim their listing on Dreambound 2, they can add information about their class that allows them to stand out. So a school might want to say, you know, we are asynchronous and online, and that can make themselves really popular for students. Otherwise, they can add like their class schedules and things like that, and students are able to filter from there. So really just trying to give as much information up front to the student, really indexing into what they care about. And that's why we run those surveys, to see what do students care about the most, showing that information first. But yeah, I mean, it can be overwhelming, especially if, you know, there are 100 medical billing and coding classes online. I think then that's where some of the like brand comes in. That's where some of the things around like Dreambound's ranking algorithm comes in too. We're trying to make it, as we add more classes onto our platform, a little bit less overwhelming for someone as they're trying to figure out, oh, which one should I go start?
Makes sense. Now, one of the arbiters of quality too is how you're funded and how you are supported in this work. And so if there are, you know, if there are serious financial brokers out there who are seeing your pitch deck and they're seeing what you're proposing to do and they're coming on board, that's sort of a signal that you must be onto something. So maybe you could talk a little bit about how you got Dreambound up and running and how you're funded and how you're operating now.
Yeah, I mean, we're really lucky. We have some of the best investors in the world that have taken a chance on Dreambound. So Union Square Ventures is our lead investor, and they did a ton of ed tech companies like Duolingo and other fintech and marketplace companies like Etsy and Coinbase, Stripe, companies like that. And so they're really betting on, if we invest in the student experience, that can allow Dreambound to grow really rapidly. And at the same time, we are personally trying to keep it a Dreambound, a financially sustainable model as well. But we're able to have a little less pressure on like must be profitable immediately. And so cutting corners on the user experience, because we have those investors who are willing to back us for the long term. So we're really lucky there. I think it's an opportunity that a lot of other companies don't get to get. And so we're trying to take advantage of it as much as we can. Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the learners that are coming on board, they're still spending money on their education, so they don't necessarily have a corporate partner or someone else. You know, it seems to me that a lot of the cost has fallen on students, and that we've state institutions and state governments have reduced their funding on public universities and community colleges from local funding sources. And so ultimately, the cost is being borne more and more by the individual themselves. So how do your you know, how do students who are jumping on Dream Board finding out how to address that affordability index, you know, because they're ultimately, if they don't have a corporate sponsor or they don't have some kind of voucher way to get financial aid, then this is kind of on them to do that. So how do they sort through the financial piece of this?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the financial side is the number one reason why students can't start their career training program. And there's a lot that we're trying to do on our side. So one is we want to list many different types of schools. So not just Title IV, not just boot camps where you private pay. We're trying to put all of those on the platform so students can see, okay, this school has financial aid if they're eligible. If that doesn't work out, here's a school that's a little bit less out of pocket, but you do have to pay it privately and you can't get Title IV funding for it. So offering those options, making sure that the pricing is really transparent too, that students can see, you know, am I ready to go and start it off and pay like $2,000 over the next few months? We also help schools offer payment plans as well. So a school can break up the cost of class over their length of the training. And so that makes a big difference. I talked to a student who was saying, oh my gosh, like I can start my nursing assistant program for just $300. Like that's just like 3 days of door dashing. Like that's so motivating. Let me go and just do that so I can go start my training. And that makes a huge difference. But yeah, I mean, I think both of those are still not enough. I think a lot of what Dreambound's future rests on and the vocational training space in general is engaging employers, engaging WIOA. So yeah, to be implemented on our side, some new features.
So you do see that, you know, we're all looking at WIOA, and WIOA took 18 years to come about after the Workforce Investment Act. And that's the first major revision of that original legislation to make federal funding available to people looking for skills upgrading. Do you see the future of WIOA in positive terms? We're hearing from the legislature that it's not on the dockets to see a reauthorization anytime soon. But do you think the outcry from all these students is going to help drive legislators to actually look at that legislation and make it more responsive?
Yeah, I mean, there is so many tailwinds federally and kind of across the country on just like workforce investment in general. It's really hard for me to see that type of investment, whether it's in WIO or some other form, not happening in the future. I mean, you see the Inflation Reduction Act, it paid for a ton of investments in training for like the green space, and even like nursing was covered, which was kind of crazy. Like everyone wants to invest in this. Everyone thinks that's where the future is going. Like manufacturing is coming on shore. We got to train them somehow. So it might be apprenticeships, it might be WIO, it might be something else, but either way, like there is going to be some funding source for upskilling people. That I think we as a country, you know, need to make sure that people are actually taking advantage of it. And it's not like hard to get if someone is motivated and trying to start a new career.
So just to give our listeners and viewers a sense of size and scale of this movement toward more skills-based, more trade skills, more certification-based education for adults, maybe you can walk us through. So Dreambound was founded in 2020, and you've been slowly building your audience since then. Tell us, you know, how many students you are now supporting with your educational partners.
Yeah, we launched our search product, which allows people to compare different training programs earlier this year in April, and we've been growing really rapidly since. So this month, I think we're going to hit 70,000 people just this month using Dreambound, and in previous months since, you know, I think
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's a lot of people.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome to see. I think we're providing something really valuable that people want.
You're almost in effect creating the Amazon marketplace for these courses. Is that a fair description of what you're doing here?
That's the goal. Yeah. We want to make pricing transparency, ease and convenience possible, and hope that a lot of more people can enter the workforce.
And when you look at where these 70,000 people are going, does it give you some sense of the trend lines that we can be expecting in terms of increased interest because there's increased job demand? So what are some of the things you're seeing through the number of students that are coming through?
Yeah, I mean, I would say healthcare by far and away is still the most popular. I think a lot of people across the country know that healthcare is incredibly stable. They hear fears about a recession and they know that other industries are going to shrink, but healthcare is mostly federally funded in some way or another. And so that's not going to go away anytime soon, plus everyone needs healthcare and everyone's heard about the aging, you know, population and the need for a nursing shortage or a need to fix the nursing shortage, stuff like that. I think technology is rebounding as well. There was a little bit of a dip earlier this year because people heard about all these tech layoffs and it was really hard for junior engineers and junior cybersecurity analysts to get a job or what have you. But I mean, companies are hiring again, cybersecurity recurringly going to be a huge thing, AI boom. And so people want to get into that. Industrial trades, I would say pretty stable, slowly growing. I think people are starting to come around into that. This is a cool industry to get into. They've heard about like their buddy who started out to be a start their own HVAC company and now is like, you know, making a ton of money and they want to go do that too. It's cool to see just like people, they bring in their friends, they bring in their families. They like want to take classes together. They are inspired by their family members, like their mom or their dad who was a nurse or whatever it was. And so I think the narrative's starting to change.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do people find Dreambound typically when they're out there looking for courses and thinking about what they might want to do in terms of upskilling?
I mean, surprisingly, we're getting a lot of word of mouth. And like I said, a lot of people, they want to, you know, take a class with their sister or their brother or their friend because they're all in similar life stages and they're like sick of their job working as a whatever. And they want to go start their education. And it's always better to do it with a buddy. Of course, we also invest in very traditional channels like SEO. And we do a little bit of advertising just to get our brand out there. But yeah, very lucky to see that like when we invest in the product as, you know, starts to sell itself.
So you become a very de facto disruptive force within the education and upskilling movement. And obviously, a lot of this has been informed by technology. When you look at, you know, the obvious next question is when you look at AI and the impact that it's having in every area of education, how do you see AI impacting the way you deliver this experience to your clients?
Yeah, I mean, for one, is definitely like the tailwinds in the industry. I mean, one big reason why I started Dreambound is because I actually used to be a software engineer over at Uber, working on the self-driving cars. And it was just like so clear to me that in a few years, I mean, they were going to happen. And if you go to San Francisco right now, you can literally take a self-driving car. And it's just like, wow, like Uber drivers are probably going to lose their jobs in the next couple years. And what are they going to do next? I mean, same thing's true.
So we created this whole industry of self, people that could independently and entrepreneurially become drivers and secure gig income. And now that's going to be shifting, right? It's going to be completely disrupted as we move more into self-mobility and self-driving cars.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and even like creative work, like writers or illustrators, or maybe, you know, someday a podcast host and stuff like that. Like,
yes, I'll be replaced by a chatbot. It's going to take a while to figure out how to make this unusually shaped head of mine fit into an augmented reality, I guess. But I suppose the future is ripe with possibilities, right?
Possible or guests too.
Yes. You need to be on. So before we are able to wrap this session of Disrupted, Athena, if you were waving a magic wand and said, these are the things that I want to see that'll help those people coming forward and looking for our assistance to really thrive, what are the things you're looking for if you could wave a magic wand?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think like the funding thing is going to be so important to unlock. And I think a lot of that is going to require engagement of employers and third parties like WIOA and nonprofits even. And so, I mean, I think that's where Dreambound, we hope to play a role in the future, is really being that super connector between like schools and students and employers and bringing all those together with the help of AI in some form or fashion. And so, yeah, I mean, if we could make that process just so easy of making it easy to find a school and pay for a school, I think that like, yeah, our future is golden in America.
Fantastic. So to our listening and viewing audience, you've been listening to Athena Khan from Dreambound talking with me today about the disruptive force they're playing in making it easier for people to upskill and to find the education and the skills training they need to advance their careers and advance their economic mobility. Thank you so much, Athena, for joining us. To our listening and viewing audience, subscribe to Disrupt Ed, engage with us, tell us what you think about Dreambound, and give us your feedback. Get involved with us. Get disrupted with us. Thanks again for joining us. Thank you, Athena, for joining us and sharing with us an additional element of disruption going on in this world of education and work. Until the next time, this is Ron Stefanski signing off on Disrupt Ed. Thanks so much.